You are listening to the Torah Sparks Podcast, the podcast that finds and ignites sparks of spiritual light and meaning in anything and everything, bringing out lessons and values straight from the Holy Torah. I am your host, Ori Strum. Let's jump right in. Shalom, I hope you're doing well. If you're tuning in to the Torah Sparks Podcast, thank you for tuning in. If you're watching on Torah anytime, hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning in. It's Parshas Devarim. Devarim is uniquely different. Now, why uniquely different is even a phrase. It should just be unique or different. My point is, it's extremely different. There's something vastly different with Devarim than the rest of the books of the Torah. You see, Devarim, the fifth of the books of the fifth of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, it's Eilah HaDevarim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael. These are the words for Moshe Rabbeinu. You see, the four previous books of the Torah was directly dictated from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet, when it comes to the book of Devarim, it was Moshe using his own words to phrase God's words. And we see something incredible. We see that the human being has the ability, the capacity, the potential to take the divine, to take the will, the words of the divine, and phrase them and box them in his own way. Within his own humanistic physicality, a person can take the words of Hashem and he can create a vessel, a kli, for synergistic spiritual and physical growth. Unbelievable. A person can take the will of Hashem and provide a context for it to grow. What an unbelievable concept that we as humans can take our physical and the spiritual and create some type of bridge between the two. We as the human being are that creature, are that creation on this world that can provide that bridge, something that domain lifeless objects like rocks, twigs, something that the vegetative, plants, something that animals cannot do. This is something that we as humans can do. In fact, we're called the medaber, which is a speaker, to speak words through words. We can provide our own context. We can make our own words with and housing the divine. It's an unbelievable concept. And it's part of the Torah. Because we have to realize, Eilah HaDevarim Asher Diber Moshe, what we can do, what we as human beings can provide on this world, given our gifts and talents that Hashem has bestowed onto us, and when He gives His word and His will, and that we can take that and provide a vessel for spiritual growth, that's an unbelievable concept and a high level of responsibility, to be quite frank and honest, from our part. It's interesting. I always had this thought that when it comes to sports, right? Take football, for example, okay? So you have the Super Bowl, the final game. Who's going to be on top? And you have these two teams who made it. At the end of the game, one of those teams is going to win, right? And one of those teams is going to lose. There's no such thing as a tie. That would be pathetic if you tie in a championship game or a Super Bowl or a World Series or a Stanley Cup. Call it what you want. So it's interesting because as soon as the team wins, that winning team gets a boatload of merch, a ton of merch. It says Super Bowl Champions 2023, assuming it's the year 2023. If it's of a different year, it would say that year. Right? It's Super Bowl Champions, you know, Kansas City, whatever it says, right? Yet, what would have happened if the other team would have won? So they would have also gotten shirts, merch, hats that also said Super Bowl Champions 2023, whatever team that was. Yet only one team wins, and therefore only one team gets that merch. So the Shiloh is twofold. First of all, what do they do with all that merch, all that those extra shirts that said the Super Bowl winning team, that was not for for the team that actually lost? You know, they're not going to wear that. They're not going to sell that to the public, those shirts. Where do they go? So there's actually organizations that they give it to poor people in Haiti, El Salvador, Armenia, Nicaragua. So you could find people, you know, usually younger kids who are from deprived countries wearing those shirts. So they put it to a good cause. But from our realm of trying to learn a limud, a life lesson from here, it's fascinating because when you approach the game, when you approach that championship game, that Super Bowl game, both teams have to come in with the knowledge that I'm going to win. Both teams come in, they believe they're going to win. In their heads, we are going to win, so much so they make merch, they make shirts, they make hats that says their team, it says Super Bowl Champions 2023. It's that real in their minds. Okay, now they have to play the game and make it happen. And obviously one team is going to end up losing, but before you play the game, you have to come in with that mindset. I'm going to win, or at least I'm going to give it 150%. I'm going to give it everything I got. Once, if one team were to come in without those shirts, without having made them initially, they're already at a disadvantage because they're not having a winning mentality. They're not thinking, I got this. And it's really a lesson for us. You know, if you look in chapter 1, verse 7, I'll quote in Parshas Devarim, the words, when it talks about the borders of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah says, Ad Hanar HaGadol Nehar Pras, until the great river, the Euphrates River. Ad Hanar HaGadol Nehar Pras. These are amazing words that the Torah is using. So the Euphrates River is definitely large, but I could find you many larger, bigger rivers than the Euphrates River. So why is the Euphrates River attributed with the title of Gadol, of great, of large? You know, it's nice, it's cute, but at the end of the day, there are larger rivers than the Euphrates. Why is the Euphrates called Gadol? And Rashi says something absolutely amazing. Rashi HaKadosh tells us, you know why it's called great? Rashi says, Mipnei shenizkar im Eretz Yisrael koro gadol. Since the Euphrates River is a border, its borders, it's one of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it's called great. Mashal hejot omer eved melech melech. This is like the analogy that it goes, a servant of a king is respected like the king himself. What an incredible concept. You see, the Euphrates River was physically speaking not the largest of all rivers, but it associated itself with greatness because Eretz Yisrael inherently is great, and it is next to, it is juxtaposed, it associates itself with Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the Euphrates River takes on a title of Eved Melech Melech. It takes on a title of greatness because it associates itself with greatness. It has a winning mentality. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes we go through life and we associate ourselves with small people, with small concepts, with small ideals, and just small kite. But one of the lessons that the Torah is teaching us, especially in this week's Parsha, as we are hopefully getting ready for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, right? Because Tisha B'Av always falls out. Devarim falls out always the week of Tisha B'Av. And we're hoping this year will be a year of construction, not destruction, and not Chorban. But it's so important during these times to associate ourselves with greatness because most of the time, sin, destruction, all of those negative things come when we associate ourselves with smallness, with, I'm not that big, I'm not that chashuv, I'm not that great. But if we could apply the lesson of the Euphrates, the Nahar Pras, which is called Gadol because it is associated, because it borders, because it's next to Eretz Yisrael. If something like the Euphrates River can be called so great because it associates itself with greatness, then it's such an important calling and message for you and I that we have to associate ourselves with greatness. The Gemara, one of the permitted Gemaras that we're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, is the famous Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, where you have these two Jews, someone was invited, their names are Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and was invited, but you should have came. How come you come? I invited Kamsa, not Bar Kamsa, and you came. I didn't invite you, and he threw him out. And everybody says, okay, Kamsa Bar Kamsa, we see from here, Sinas Chinam, and that's why the Beis Mikdash was destroyed. But that's just an overall reading without actually looking inside the Gemara. You see, the Gemara doesn't say the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because Bar Kamsa threw out Kamsa, or Kamsa threw out Bar Kamsa. That's not why. There was another reason, a deeper reason, why this story led to the destruction. And the Gemara says something shocking that I would like to share with you. The Gemara in Gittin 56a says clearly, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Anvisanuso shall Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos, the humility of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos, hechariva es beisenu. It destroyed our temple. Visarfa es hechalenu. It burned down our sanctuary. Vihigli sanu meartzenu. And caused us to be exiled from our land. You see, when Bar Kamsa incited the Roman government against the Jews, according to the Meiri, he was indeed Chayev Misa. He should have been put to death for doing such a grave sin. How can you incite the government, the Romans, against the Jews? How can he do that? Right? When he got thrown out, he went to incite the Romans. And he was Chayev Misa. But the court didn't do anything. They remained quiet. And the leader of them, the Rebbe Zechariah ben Avkulos, it was his silence. The Gerash Yerachim explains that Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos did not feel himself qualified to make the determination to put Bar Kamsa to death. And it was mipnei anvisanuso, it was because of this humility that ultimately led to the destruction. We often think it was the sinas chinam, which is also true. Of course that's true. You know, we talk about sinas chinam a lot, Chazal say that. Of course it's true. But from this story, it wasn't the mere fact that Bar Kamsa was thrown out by another Jew. And it wasn't the mere fact that he incited the Romans against all these Jews, but it was the fact that Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos, on his level, did not feel qualified where he should have felt qualified. It was humility that ultimately was the cause for the destruction. It's a perplexing, it's a mind-boggling Gemara. It's astounding. It was mipnei anvisanuso. You know, David HaMelech in Tehillim tells us, min hametzar karasika anani bamerchavka. I call to Hashem from the narrow straits. Min hametzar. Similar to bein hametzarim, from the straits. But anani bamerchavka, Hashem answered me in expansiveness. And al derech drash, we can understand perhaps as follows, that sometimes we call out, min hametzar, from I feel small. Anvisanuso. I feel so humble. I don't feel qualified enough. And Hashem tells us, no. Anani bamerchavka. Hashem answers that with, no. Be merchav. Be wide. Be expansive. Be big. Be like the Nahar Pras. Associate yourself with greatness, with great people, with great ideals. Realize your kishronos, your chashivos. The word for simcha, for happiness, when you rearrange the letters, spells machshava. Because it's a mindset, it's an attitude. It's a winning mindset. You go into that game with that championship merch already created, already made. And you'll have a greater chance of winning, guaranteed. Min hametzar karasika, instead of calling out, where we feel small, anoni bamerchavka. Take the message that Hashem is telling us, no, call out in expansiveness, call out in a merchav. Be big, be amazing, be great. I wanted to end with one more idea, and that is Eila HaDevarim. This is a chiddush. I'd like to share it with you, if you don't mind. Eila HaDevarim. These are the words which Moshe said to the Jewish people. What are these words? So the commentaries discuss what exactly these words are. But I'd like to suggest a chiddush al derech drash homiletically. If you think about what are the very words we said right before Eila HaDevarim, if you think about it, we just ended Parshas Matos Maaseh, which was the end of the book of Devarim, the end of the book of Bamidbar, excuse me. And everybody in the tzibur, everybody in the shul, in the congregation, if you were at shul last week, everybody said the words, chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. Everybody said, be strong, and be strengthened. Perhaps, maybe, it could be, there's an illusion, when we say, Eila HaDevarim, these are the words which Moshe spoke to the Jewish people, and we know Devarim was rebuked that that Moshe gave to the Jewish people. What are Eila, what are these words? Perhaps it's the last three words that we just said as a tzibur. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. Because you see, Moshe Rabbeinu's Musar was not an ends just for the sake of giving Musar. It was Litoyelas, it was to build them up, it was to show them, hey guys, feel big, have a machshava of godless, be like the Nahar Pras, realize your gadol, associate yourself with greatness. The point of the Musar was chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, to give them strength, to realize you are strong, keep being strong, and keep on being strong. Realize your Kedusha, realize your holiness. It was the Anvisanuslu Shal Rabbi Zechariah that caused the destruction, and the way we overcome that is by having Ava Schinam, love obviously for others, but love internally, having internal self, having self-respect, realizing that we have what it takes, and now we have to take what we have and apply ourselves with that. May Hashem bless us and give us the strength, the knowledge and the fortitude to be able to take the goodness, the greatness that lies deep within, and to be able to continue to associate ourselves with greatness and with Kedusha and with holiness. And in Mir Tashem, in that Zechus, we will be Zoche to be Roa B'Simchasa, to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash in our days. May it be this year. Thank you so much for listening.